May it please the Court. My name is Mark Heaton, and I represent Mr. Barry Duncan, the plaintiff appellant in this case. This is an age discrimination case brought by Barry Duncan against his current employer, Fleetwood Motor Homes of Indiana, Inc. Initially, when Mr. Duncan brought this case, he brought a claim under the Age Discrimination in Employment Act as well as the Americans with Disabilities Act. The Honorable Magistrate Roger Cosby granted Fleetwood Motor Homes summary judgment motion on both claims. Mr. Duncan has not appealed the disability determination and proceeds now only on the age discrimination and employment claim.
Mr. Keaton,
yes.
Does the record tell us how old Adam Stuckey was at the time he told Duncan that he had to recognize that there were things each of them could no longer do? Was he a similar age to Duncan?
The record does not reflect that,
okay.
but it's my understanding that he was. As the record does reflect, Mr. Duncan worked for 17 years as a material handler. He was an exemplary employee. He was never disciplined. Nobody ever complained. In December of 2003, he suffered a workplace injury that was somewhat significant, but he never missed a day of work. He continued to work from December of 2003 until September of 2004 in his regular job without asking for accommodation, without complaining. He did everything that he had always done. For reasons that the record still does not reflect, in July of 2004, some 8 months after he had suffered that injury and after he had been working at his regular job, doing all of the essential tasks of the job, in July of 2004, Fleetwood sent him out for a functional capacity evaluation. Mr. Duncan agreed to take the FCE. Nobody explained to him why he needed to take it. When he went and he took it under the supervision of a Carol Bennett from Fort Wayne Orthopedics. She was provided by Fleetwood with a copy of a job description that appeared to contend that two of the tasks that Mr. Duncan as a material handler would have to accomplish would be lifting items of 93 pounds occasionally and 79 pounds frequently. Mr. Duncan was asked to lift those items during the FCE. He could not do it. He expressed his concern. He didn't understand why he was being put through that kind of a test because material handlers did not have to lift items of that weight. Ms. Bennett then wrote a report. She communicated back to Fleetwood and said, if that's what your material handlers have to do, Mr. Duncan can't do it. But she expressed concerns about the credibility, based in part on what Mr. Duncan told her, I don't have to lift those items, but based in part also on the fact that he'd been doing that job for 8 months. If he'd been doing the job for 8 months and it required him to lift those items, there was something wrong. There was no way he could have done it. After the results of that report were communicated back to Fleetwood, they called Mr. Duncan in, said, we're not sure you can do the job. He asked for more information. They couldn't give him any. And apparently they went out and hired some kind of outside consultant. What exactly that consultant did, how they got their information, the record is absolutely silent. But at the end of the day, the consultant wrote up some report and said, yep, material handlers have to lift items of 93 pounds occasionally and 79 pounds frequently. And as a result of that, Fleetwood removed Mr. Duncan from his position. He was out of work, I believe, for 4 months. Later, he was called back to a different position. He's employed now, but he makes significantly less money than he did in the old position. During the course of the case, Mr. Duncan submitted an affidavit in opposition to summary judgment motion, and he simply said, I've been working in that job for 17 years, and I never have, no material handler ever has to lift items that weigh that much. It's not a part of the job. We never have to do it. If I'm being terminated or removed from that position, it's simply false. Fleetwood, in response, has never come forward and even identified what these objects are that need to be lifted. They've never really taken the position in the case that Mr. Duncan can't perform the job or that indeed material handlers have to lift items of that weight. Instead, Fleetwood has essentially taken the position that its decision makers are entitled to rely on these two job descriptions, the one that was initially transmitted for the FCE and the one that was created after Mr. Duncan expressed his concerns.
What kind of recovery, if you prevail, send it back, What kind of recovery would your client expect?
Well, he was out of work for 4 months and received no pay, so he's looking for that. And the difference between what he's earning now as an assembler compared to what he received as a material handler.
So what kind of, you have a ballpark figure of what we're talking about?
It's certainly less than $100,000. I think it's probably more than $50,000 at this point. It's been some number of years since he was removed from that position. In essence, Fleetwood's position here appears to be that perhaps we made a mistake. Perhaps we misunderstood what the actual job was. Fleetwood has never taken a position that there are actually items that need to be lifted by a material handler. So they seem to be contending that we're entitled to rely on job descriptions that are provided to us from these outside consultants. And Magistrate Cosby seemed somewhat impressed by that argument. Magistrate Cosby, in his opinion, seemed to find something credible about the fact that an outside consultant supposedly came in and made this determination. But, of course, the question of credibility is not one that's the province of the district court. So long as Mr. Duncan says that these items do not have to be lifted by material handlers, those are the facts that have to be taken as true for purpose of this analysis. Then the question becomes, is there sufficient evidence in this record from which a reasonable juror could hear the story that Fleetwood is giving? That is, we relied on these job descriptions. Could a reasonable juror hear that story and not believe it, believe it was a pretext for age discrimination? And we believe that a reasonable juror could. First and foremost, the idea that an employer who asks the employees to come to work every day and perform a task, the idea that that employer would not know what jobs they are assigning is something that a reasonable juror could disbelieve. And that's what Fleetwood is asking here. They're the ones. Thank you, Your Honor. I see that I'm cutting my rebuttal time, and I'll stop. Thank you.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
What should we make of the comment that older workers cost the company more money? Was this comment made by a decision maker in Duncan's chain of command?
That evidence is not of record, and it's, and I'm not sure where you're on. I'm not sure if it was perhaps mentioned in Magistrate Cosby's decision.
It's in there.
Yeah.
I didn't pull that out of the air.
Yes. And I will concede that that is not in the record, nor was
it
submitted.
Okay. So it has no relevance to the pretext analysis at all.
That comment is not a part of the record. Should not be relied upon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Moreland.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. This is a pretext case, and not to sound exactly like Mr. Barnard from the previous case, but that means that this is about whether the company lied when it articulated its reasons for what it did to Mr. Duncan.
Is there any evidence in the record that any other materials handler employee was subject to the same weightlifting requirements that were imposed on Duncan by the new job description?
Yes. The job description that was offered by the company is the job description that was in effect for all material handlers at the time. We take that from Mr. Horman's affidavit. It's in the supplemental appendix that we submitted. There's only one job description here, and that was the one that the company adopted and the one that was used to determine whether Mr. Duncan could do the job.
Well, then help me with this. Is there any evidence in the record that Duncan was not performing the job at the time the company removed him from his position as a materials handler? And I mean, what I mean is the actual job as opposed to the job defined by the post hoc job description. I mean, that job description is post hoc.
Your Honor, I don't believe that's accurate from the record. The job description that was prepared by WorkSteps, it's Exhibit A to Mr. Horman's affidavit, was prepared long before Mr. Duncan was removed from his position as a material handler.
How do we know that? It's not signed. It's not dated. It's not. How do I know that? How can I know that?
Because the affidavit of Mr. Horman says so. Now, of course, you're right. In a normal case, one would say, well, did anybody ask Mr. Horman any questions about that? Was he deposed? How do we know that Mr. Horman's lying about that? That is a fair question.
For a jury.
Plaintiff's problem in this case is that they didn't do any discovery. They never asked Mr. Horman that question. They never asked anybody at the company that question. They never asked for any documents. If you're going to prove that somebody lied, you got to be able to find something where they said one thing one time and something else at some other stage.
Look, the employer didn't conjure up this job description until after the litigation began. I don't know that I'd be asking any questions if I had such a bright light shining in my face.
Well, I guess I'm not clear then what job description the court is referring to, because the only one that I believe is at issue here, at least based upon the evidence that's in the record, is the one that's attached as Exhibit A to Mr. Horman's affidavit. It bears a date of April 14th, 04. That's in the supplemental appendix at page 17, which, of course, is before any action was taken with respect to Mr. Duncan. Now, I don't know what other job description the appellant refers to, but on the record we have, that's
it. The way I saw it was that the job description, which is dated April 4th, 2004, was created after Duncan injured his back in 2003. Fleetwood seems to have submitted no evidence in summary judgment about the sources of information given to WorkSteps for the use in creating the job description, nor did Fleetwood produce any evidence from the consultant. So the only evidence about the job description would be the document itself, which was authenticated by Fleetwood's human resources manager as the description on file. It bears a signature line, but it is unsigned. And the signature line for the WorkSteps employee is also blank. And so we have a problem here, it seems to me.
Well, if the issue is whether or not the company lied about its reason for moving Mr. Duncan, there's no problem whatsoever. There's no evidence in the record other than the company used that written job description to evaluate whether or not Mr. Duncan could do the job.
So let me, like Judge Rhodes, I don't understand this. Exhibit A at Supplemental Appendix 17, is that what you're referring to as a job description?
That is correct. The page
it's not
is
a job description. This is direction to the company that's going to evaluate him, and in which the company says, well, this is what's required, but then there was a concession that the performance expectations of Fleetwood, you conceded, they'd never moved, that 73 and 93-pound lifting requirements weren't part of the job, right?
That is not correct, Your Honor. If you look at Mr. Horman's affidavit, he clearly says a WorkStep representative visits Fleetwood's job site, performs hand-on evaluation of physical requirements of employees in particular jobs. The job descriptions are then created based on the representative's findings. A true and accurate copy.
This Exhibit A is not, at least it's not what I would consider a job description. It's something that the consultant is using, but not a job description.
Your Honor, perhaps there's some confusion. Exhibit A extends for a number of pages. It's not just that single page. And admittedly, the first page is part of it, but the job description is in the particular things that a material handler would do on a regular day-to-day basis. Those are described in the pages that follow.
Now, this was a document that was created when? That is where it says material handling, overview, responsibility,
yes,
and so forth. That's attached to that original thing. When was it signed or prepared?
That is not in the record. All we know from the record is that that is the job description that was in place in 04 when the question came up. Now, the only evidence we have here that there's anything wrong with this job description comes from Mr. Duncan's subjective belief that he never had to do some of these tasks and therefore they're wrong. The point we make in the brief and the point of the honest belief
Fleetwood
rule.
Fleetwood did not dispute that material handlers are never required to lift items that heavy without a machine or a co-worker to assist them. And that's at Appendix 25, paragraph 17.
Appendix 25, Your Honor?
Yeah. Or maybe.
That's up. Appendix, regular appendix.
I think. I have notes now, so I'm not going to go through. The
I don't appendix. Believe that's correct, Your Honor. Other than, again, all we have here is Mr. Duncan's subjective belief that that's not right. Keep in mind what the company did. When Mr. Duncan raised questions about, I don't think this job description's right, they went out and engaged another professional to validate the job description.
Do you mean the physical therapist?
I mean the report that comes back.
Because the physical therapist expressed doubt about the accuracy.
That's correct. Well, based upon what Mr. Duncan said.
Of the job description. Well, given that he hadn't missed any work
right.
And performed his job without incident for 8 full months after
That's not
his
correct,
injury.
Your Honor. And that's the reason that we get to the functional capacity exam in the first place. He complained about pain. That's what started this. It's not as if Fleetwood, out of the blue, decided that Barry Duncan had to go get an exam. What happened was, after suffering a obviously serious injury and coming back to work, he had one incident where he was unable to perform part of his job, and then he went to the first aid station, and part of what he said was, I'm having some pain in my legs. Now, I don't know why it is a mystery to the plaintiff as to why the exam was ordered after that event. When he was asked in his deposition, well, what did the people say to you when they asked you to take the functional capacity exam? He said that they told him they wanted to see how he was coming with his healing process. In addition, look at the timing of these events. Mr. Duncan goes to the nurse on July 23rd, and a week later, he's asked to take a functional capacity exam. Again, there's no real mystery here, certainly not on this record, as to why that happened. At most, at best, all that Mr. Duncan can do is say, I think this job description is mistaken. I don't think it's right. Despite the fact that Fleetwood used outside consultants to develop it, that they used a physical therapist to evaluate him and another professional to evaluate whether the job was correct. The point is that even if it is mistaken or incorrect, it's not discriminatory. And that's what would be required to survive summary judgment. Thank you.
Thank you.
How much time does Mr. Keaton have? You have 2 minutes, Mr. Keaton.
Thank you, Your Honor. Two quick points. There was a question about whether anyone else had to take an FCE in response to that job description. The record reflects that no one but Mr. Duncan was subjected to an FCE. The issue about the job description really is, I think, is in some ways a non-issue. The question is, what is the actual job? We know what the job is. Mr. Duncan's affidavit tells us, and there is no affidavit to the contrary. And even if there's a dispute, that's a dispute that, at summary judgment, Mr. Duncan's version has to prevail. Counsel said even if there's a mistake about what the job requires and what the job description says, it's simply an honest mistake. The question then is, could a reasonable juror find that this mistake was not indeed honest, but that indeed is a lie? That is, could a reasonable juror find that the version of the facts that Fleetwood is saying, that they've got these job descriptions, that they fired Mr. Duncan for, have nothing to do with the job? Could a reasonable juror find that that's just not believable and that there is indeed age discrimination here? Built into this record, we actually have such a reasonable juror, and that's Ms. Bennett, the person who performed the FCE. She heard the very same evidence that a jury would hear, and she concluded that there was something that was not credible here. If Mr. Duncan could perform that job for 8 months, this job description was not true. If she can come to that reasonable conclusion, we believe a reasonable juror could as well. And we would ask the court to reverse the magistrate judge's decision and remand for trial. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.